women have always played a very important on-air role at 3DB. Probably more so than any other Melbourne radio station, the good chits with big audiences on DB were often handed over to the fairer sex. In this day and age, some might question the relevance and importance of this remark. But in other times, before equality was even mentioned, let alone discussed, 3DB was proud of its female stars. The first female voice at the station was Winnie Wattle, who conducted the children's program when 3DB opened in 1927. Then there was Iris Turnbull, who remained at the station through the 20s and 30s, broadcasting the Women's Radio Service of the Air. And there was Millicent Osmond, known in the children's program as Sally Ann. Marjorie Troy was another broadcaster. Tilly the Telephone Girl, another DB character of those early years. And author and broadcaster Isabel Ann Sheed had a huge following. In later years, Elizabeth conducted The Friendly Door with Maurice Callard, in which listeners were invited to simply help each other with gifts, donations, and general support. Louise Homfrey came from 3AW in 1937 and stayed for more than 20 years. Louise refused to advertise any products in her sessions until she'd personally tested their claims. As Bill McLaughlin writes in his book, From Wireless to Radio, you just had to believe it when Louise said, buy it. After Louise left radio and television, she devoted 8 years to taping textbooks for blind students in their school and university exams. She also taped the complete works of William Shakespeare. This fulfilled for her a lifetime ambition, but it took 5 years to complete this mammoth task. Many more of the industry's best ever female performers spent time here at 3DB. The delightful and very popular Stephanie Beeney, alas, no longer with us. And Uncle Norman's cousin Binny from the 3KZ children's program, Binny Lum, graced our airwaves. Jean Lawson conducted one of Australian radio's best ever children's programs, but more of Jean later. And then there was that young and pert Shirley Cecil, who joined the station as a teenager to work in the office, and then she found her way to the microphone and went on to establish a fine career in radio.
See, the war was on, and this is why I was so lucky, because at school, you know, people would say to me, and what do you know, or what are you going to do when you grow up? I'm going to be a radio announcer, you know, and I said that forever, having no idea that one day I would be. I got a job here, and the war was on, you see, and they didn't have any announcers. All the fellows were going, leaving, so they only had older guys. And they used the women, so that's how I got to be an announcer, because there were no fellows here to be the announcers.
It must have been a wonderful place for a young person to work.
Yes, because DB used to do a lot of live shows, and we used to pack the studio with the with women who used to come in for the show. It was a great thing for them to do. It filled in their afternoon, and it was warm. You know, in the freezing cold weather, it was lovely and warm in the studio. And they used to come in very early in the morning and stay in the studio the whole day. And the show would start off, they'd come in and record Daddy and Paddy. They'd do a couple of episodes of that. And all the women would laugh and clap and, you know, enjoy that. Stop. For women only, used to go on the air. That would be on for an hour. They used to have quizzes and give prizes out to the women and so forth. And then that would go on till about four. Then there'd be a stop. And a lot of the women in the audience would go home. A lot of them would stay in. And then at about 6 o'clock, 6:30, they used to record the minstrels. Then after the minstrels, we would come in and record What's My Line. The audience on a Thursday had a ball because the whole day they'd been entertained in the nice, you know, cosy studio, and it was good entertainment too.
For the staff also. And for a young person getting a job at Melbourne's most successful radio station with some of the city's best-known faces and voices surrounding them, I wonder who the station hero was.
I think I'd have to say Eric Pearce. I think what I liked about Eric Pearce was that he spoke so well and he sounded so good, and he was really a very, very friendly type person, and he could always join in with the fellows or with the anybody who was on the air, and I think that voice was a great voice to hear on 3DB. I'd have to say Eric Pearce.
In direct contrast to the dulcet tones of Sir Eric Pearce, there was another voice on 3DB that was so identifiably 3DB, especially on a Sunday night. Among the honor roll of great female broadcasters, we've mentioned already the likes of Elizabeth, Louise Humphrey, Jean Lawson, Stephanie Beeney. But we've left till last a name synonymous with this station. She became as much part of Melbourne as any city landmark or any powerful political figure. When you ask any former 3DB star, including Shirley Cecil, to think exotic, different, controversial, extraordinary, and female, the answer is always the same.
Stephanie Dest.
Stephanie Dest was a Belgian-born dancer who came to this country to star in the musical Rosemarie, from which she eventually took her radio theme that you hear now, Totem Tom Tom. She travelled the world as a dancer, but her world eventually became Australia, and especially Melbourne, where not only did she find radio fame with her legendary Sunday Night with Stephanie Dest, in which she interviewed stars of stage and screen, but she also became one of this city's best-known beauticians. And early in the piece, while working with the late Monty Blandford, she pioneered a new dimension in radio.
Monty and I put our heads together, and we got around it this way. Mrs. Gafoop, so on, you know, rang up Monty and she said, will you please ask Miss Desk, what can I do about the open pores and so on. So I said, oh, Monty, will you tell Mrs. So-and-so what it was? And that's how we did it. That was the very first talk back.
Miss Stephanie Dest made her debut on radio in a unique way, which even in today's blasé era shows a lot of class.
Well, they asked me to do something. I didn't know what, so I read the Bible, you know, not from the religious point of view, but from the literary point of view, and then I read the Salome of Oscar Wilde, with Herbert Brown playing Joe Conan and Fifi Banvard. The old-timers would remember all these, you know, playing Herodias. We did it in two installments. Then I had the bright thought of having a session for boys, and we read the Lays of Ancient Rome, and I dropped the book, which was very embarrassing. And, I had a good time. I worked there every Sunday, you know. I think they paid me 2 guineas, something like that.
Listeners to her program certainly got more than 2 guineas worth. One of the compelling things about Stephanie Dest's show was to listen every week to see if eventually there would be a guest who was not either overawed by or incredulous of the show's hostess. Miss Dest was also a marvellous character around the station. Shirley Cecil.
And she used to have this huge big car, a big Mercedes or something, always even better than a Mercedes, whatever that is. And she used to say, I am running late, I cannot park it. And she used to just leave it parked on the tram line, and she'd come in and drop the keys to the girl at the front counter and say, get someone to move my car, I am running late. And she'd have to find some. Usually it was Jeff Cork or somebody, who was only a lad in those days, but he was allowed to put the keys in the car and just drive the car off. She didn't have time to, you know, or couldn't, park it. It was so big, and there was never any room along Flinders Street anyway, but Jeff, it was always his job to get the keys and move the car. The trams would be held up on the, you know, that didn't worry Stephanie. She was running late for her program. Oh, she was really very funny.
And marvellous. How often have you heard the real test of a celebrity is for them to be on stage or on air, exactly what they are in real life? With Stephanie Dest, what you saw was what you got. And Melbourne women got something new and exciting from her beauty-wise. Another pioneering move by Stephanie Dest.
You know, I was the first person doing the cold wave here. Women would know what that is. And I talked about it over 3DB. And when I got back to my salon, there were queues down the stairs and everything waiting. Oh, it was marvellous.
Marvellous. That's how her legion of fans felt about her Sunday night program, too. But all good things come to an end.
I was very sad. You know, I loved everybody, and I was part of the station. And all the engineers and everyone came to say goodbye to me because I was part of the furniture here. It was very sad.
Stephanie Dest's Sunday night program came to an end in 1969. And on this night, the tables were turned on her as Dick Cranburn made an unlisted and surprise appearance. They were both great radio performers in very different ways. But they both liked to chat, and the only casualties on this historic night were agreement on the facts and the single microphone used to capture both their voices. It never seemed to work the same again.
Thank you, Stephanie, very much indeed. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, this is not the first time I've been connected with this program, although I have never been on this program.
Not this program.
No,
no,
I know, but what I'm going to say, Stephanie, is that I haven't been on this end of your program, but I've been on the listening end.
Have you really?
Oh, I have on many, many occasions, and you have had some wonderful people here. But as far as your other station was concerned in the daytime, well, you and I were together on the Stephanie Dest program, 1:30, I think it used to start. Was it 1:30?
No, it was 10:30 on Friday morning for a long time.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Oh, it got switched eventually.
It got switched, 1:30. Yes, that's right.
But for years, and we were 10:30 Friday morning.
I remember, yes. Stephanie, with you as far as radio
Look,
is concerned.
I am 29 next birthday. That is my story. I'm sticking to it. The fact that I have a daughter and three grandchildren is a bit embarrassing.
Yes, it is.
But that's my story and I stick to it.
And you're stuck with it.
Absolutely.
29, yes.
Oh, say 30.
Well, I suppose I can go back with you here at 3DB.
Yes.
25 years? 26?
Well,
I was here 26.
Oh, no, I wasn't there then.
No.
I started, I think it was 1942, during the war. I know that I used to get into trouble.
Right, 1942.
Now, look, I've never played Tondaleo in Australia. I played it in on the continent.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't play it here in Australia?
Not here. I played Wanda in Rosemary, but it was
right,
at the same time.
At the same time,
and
that's
right. Lots of people said they'd seen me in... Well, of course, people are mistaken sometimes. I still occasionally meet people who say that I was in the famous sextet in Floridora.
Oh,
that
yes.
was 1902, and believe it or not, Dick, that was even before my time.
And then came her time on that night, the 13th of April, 1969, for Stephanie to say goodbye.
Good night, listeners. This is Stephanie Dest signing off. And I'm very sad to say goodbye to you. Good night, listeners.
And so, the end of an era.
When my grandpa Chief Tickycotum took grandpa out for totem-tom-tom, first they'd move their feet very slow, like the drums would beat a tattoo, like totem-tom-tom. Totem Tom Tom.
Stephanie Dest, an important part of the 3DB story. She was different, larger than life, and a carbon copy of no one. She was a radio pioneer. Miss Dest is now also retired from her beauty salon. With her departure, the hairdressing and beauty industry in Melbourne aren't the same, nor is Sunday night radio.